Welcome to The Author Show, where we always present new authors and books, from fiction to self-help and everything in between, you name it, and you will find it here. To watch the TV version of the show, visit authorswebtv.com. That's authorswebtv.com. And now, let the show begin.
Hello and welcome back to the show. This is your host, Don McCauley. Today we're welcoming to the program author Rob Rideout, and Rob is the author of Still Singing Somehow, The Odyssey of One Soul's Karma. Rob is a singer and a songwriter and an author who lives on a farm overlooking Colville, Washington, with his three cats. He just published his second book. This one is poetry of song lyrics, and he has an upcoming CD of original songs also. His inspirational memoir, Still Singing Somehow, won the Fall 2010 Pinnacle Book Achievement Award. Rob, how are you?
I'm great, Don. Thank you.
Well, tell us about this book, please.
Well, it is an honest, heartfelt odyssey of one soul's karma, obviously mine. The book will make you laugh, cry, and maybe even angry. It's pretty much about me as I fight through alcoholism, prison, traveling all around the world, married life, and finally peace at the end. It's definitely stranger than fiction. And I never could have thought it up in my wildest imagination, the life I've lived.
So what prompted you to write the book?
Ending up in prison for an aggravated DUI, which is a DUI when you get one without a license, which equals prison, and then having the time in prison to reflect on my mother my whole life telling me, Rob, you should write a book. I heard that since I was a kid. And my dad did write a short story about his life that was only about 4 pages long that I received after he died from his second wife. And I thought about what he wrote me, and it wasn't a lot, but I thought, boy, I could really write something while I have the time here to do it. And it made my time in prison very creative, and it went way faster when I had this labor of love to create in that situation.
Now, who did you write this book for?
I wrote it for my estranged son from divorce. He was about 8 when I went into prison, or 12, I think 12, yeah. And I was in for 2.5 years. And I had lost my parents and my sister, and all I had was my son. Then I lost him through divorce. And I wanted him, the depression of that led to the alcoholism that eventually led to prison. But in prison, I wanted him to know the whole story of who I was and who I am and what I plan to do with my life. So he would really know his dad. It was written for him.
So what is the strongest message you would say that this book conveys?
That you can always choose once again. Self-forgiveness is the key to overcoming your past. And when you've overcome your past, really overcome it, like I did writing this book and rewriting it about 40 times in different ways, you heal all of that, and then you're totally, like, free. You're not carrying any baggage anymore. And we can always... We always have another choice. If you think you've made a lot of mistakes, buckle up and just choose the right way next time.
So what's the biggest benefit that you believe the reader will take away from reading this book?
I think they'll gain a lot of hope and faith that it is never too late to change. And they'll learn from their own self-realizations that really all things do work for the good. As strange as the picture may appear and the jigsaw puzzle of our lives, when we don't know the whole story, and when you get a glimpse of the whole story through the self-realizations that you will have of your life, that you can see in my life how it naturally happened, you'll be proud of who you are, and you can have the life you were meant to live.
Would you say that you've had a two-part life before and after prison?
Oh, definitely. The first part would actually be the material life, and the second part after prison is really embracing wholeheartedly the spiritual life. And I was aware of the spiritual life in the material life, as you'll clearly see. My whole life I've been a seeker of God, but I ended up in prison. And that was so shocking to have that happen to me that I realized I really had to change in here. And I went in there wanting to change, and I did. So, yes, definitely a two-part life, with part two being the better part.
Now, why do you feel that you've had to experience so much or had the opportunity to experience so much in one lifetime?
Really for the growth of my soul, to really know who I am. I was told early on by some Christian mystics that placed their hands on me at 19 that if you want to know God, He will take everything from you. And that's what happened in my life. I'm born on the last day of the last sign of the zodiac wheel, And I still am, even with these astrological changes they've been talking about. I'm still a Pisces, the last day of Pisces. And my reading says this is not going to be an easy ride by any means. So it hasn't been. But it's been a wonderful ride, too, where I'm at now.
Was there any kind of a turning point that you experienced while you were in prison, or was that the turning point?
There was a turning point in prison. It was definitely a wow moment going into prison and a turning point totally unto itself. But while I was in there, I had so much shame and guilt I was carrying from being there and thinking how this is affecting my son, definitely, his mother, all of my friends, and my deceased parents and sister, who must know on the other side that I'm in prison. And it really affected me. I mean, I just felt horrible about who I was. And finally, one day, and you'll read about it in the book, the self-forgiveness came. And when that came, I felt like I was out of prison, even though I was still there. I finally could forgive myself and know that everything's okay, and now relax about this experience. And then that's when the idea for the book came. And then I had the energy and the hope and faith and the creativity was incredible, because I was off alcohol and everything else for so long that the juice inside of me naturally came back. And I just felt inspired, divinely inspired, to write this book, along with finding the Course in Miracles in our prison library that nobody had checked out. And I had been introduced to it years before. I got to have that come back into my life in prison and have the optimum environment to study the complete Course in Miracles, reading all 900 pages of the text and doing the lessons again for a year with inmates as the ones I'm doing the lessons with. So that was a very big turning point, too.
So would it be fair to say that you've lived the life of Riley, maybe crossed with the life of, say, Job?
Yeah, definitely. The life of Riley would have been all the musician, 28 years of being a professional musician, and being able to travel in that means to foreign countries and play music, and all around our country, and experiencing more good times and more parties than any one person should ever deserve. And I think a lot of professional musicians can relate to what I'm saying there. But I'm not talking occasionally. I'm talking years, nightly. And most of it you forget later. You never remember. But I've had so many high times with a lot of people in a lot of different places. And then the life of Job with, boy, having my house burned down, falling off a roof and breaking my body in 20 places after I gave up playing music. Then losing the house we rebuilt after the house fire to divorce with my son. Then having my dad die, my best friend get killed, all in a month's time. I had everything come down on me at one time. I thought I'd never walk again after falling off the roof. My femur was broken in 8 places, my shoulder in 4. In the wheelchair, crutches, cane, and then divorce at the same time. Enough to just break anybody's heart. And this book will, you know, really take you there.
So how do you feel that someone so spiritually aware as yourself could possibly end up in prison?
I didn't walk my talk, is what I saw when I was in prison. I got asked that same question once or twice during my incarceration, and I felt just ashamed. Even some of the teachers said, "Why are you here?" And I just said, alcohol. Alcohol sees no gender, no race, no age, no color. It can take anybody down. And I was consciously letting it take me down from self-abandonment issues. That was the core issue of why I became an alcoholic, a practiced drinker that was really drinking to die, kind of like the Nicolas Cage movie. And all the prayers by so many people on so many levels, I feel, put me in prison so I wouldn't die. And that was a saving grace to go into prison. And there I really saw that, boy, everything you've learned in 30 years of studying spirituality and metaphysics and everything else, you've got to not just get it on an intellectual level, you've got to really get it on a heart and mind level working together and live that life that you've read about. And when I came out of prison with the Course strapped around me, I entered a whole new world and with a whole new awareness that I've continually kept with me. I don't think I can ever go back. I've just seen too much of life and humanity and the goods and the bads, and the pressure cooker of prison is just incredible what it teaches you.
So if you could compare this book with any book out there already, which book would it be?
There's really no book like mine that I can think of, but my first wife, when she read it, and she was one of the first people to read it, she emailed me and said, "Rob, this book reminds me, the only book I can think of is Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda." And granted, his life is way different than mine, but this book is so deep and so thick and long, and it is such a journey it takes you on, like Yogananda's book does too, that is comparable to that, especially on the spiritual side. I'm connected with Yogananda and Mahavatar Babaji and their line of gurus that all ultimately led me to the Course in Miracles, I feel, too. So people would definitely associate with that book. And also, it's kind of a male version of Eat, Pray, Love. One of the book reviews compares my book to Eat, Pray, Love, but with a more authentic feel. It's much more than Eat, Pray, Love. That's just 1 year of Elizabeth Gilbert's life. And my book is the whole 50-some years by the time I wrote it of my life. So that's what I mean by, I really can't think of another book that covers such a broad spectrum, flipping a person between the past and walking you through my whole incarceration as the past is told to my bunkmate in prison.
Now, in your opinion, who should buy this book?
Anybody struggling with alcoholism or any kind of alcohol problem, addiction problems from sugar to anger to pot to whatever, they would definitely benefit from it. Any spiritual seekers of any sort of path, I think, would greatly enjoy the hippie spiritual wisdom that I've had through my self-realizations of being a follower on the path for my whole life, and anybody interested in the 60s, foreign travel, and the Native American church, and divorce, and just heartfelt things told in such a way that it will hit a nerve. My book has hit a nerve in every single person that has read it. Okay, the last one, fans of Survivor would definitely, I love Survivor. And I've thought I should be on the show. Now I think I'm a little too old, and mentally I don't want to do it. But I would have been a good one to be on Survivor, because I am a survivor.
Time is getting very short, so the most important question, where can we buy this book?
I would prefer that you do not buy it on Amazon, although you can, but I'm self-published through Amazon's own company called CreateSpace, and I have an e-store on stillsingingsomehow.com.
And could you spell your last name for us, please?
Yeah. Ride Out. R-I-D-E-O-U-T. Just like it sounds.
Well, this has been very enlightening. Our guest today has been Rob Rideout, and Rob is the author of Still Singing Somehow, The Odyssey of One Soul's Karma. Rob, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Don.
This is Don McCauley wrapping up another edition of The Author Show. If you're an author or know an author, learn how you can help a publisher publish you by visiting helpapublisherpublishyou.com. Each week you receive a listing of publishers, small presses, and others who may be interested in publishing your work. This is a free service of The Author Show. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit www.theauthorshow.com, fill out the form, and we may be contacting you shortly. And if you're an author, don't forget to visit Book Marketing, the author's marketing powerhouse, at www.theauthorsmarketingpowerhouse.com. We look forward to seeing you here next time on The Author Show.
Thank you for listening to The Author Show. To contact us about the show, call toll-free 1-877-955-8800. That's 1-877-955-8800. Or visit wnbnetworkwest.com. Tune in next time for another great author on The Author Show.